Well, most of you probably know me, and some of you may not. And my name's Alan LeBeau, and I'm an elder over at Springbrook Bible Chapel. And last Sunday evening, Brother Jim called me up. It was about 10 o'clock at night. I was just getting ready to go to bed. He said, "Hey, do you want to speak for us next week?" And I was like, "Okay, sure." And, you know, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season." So, and here I am today, and glad to be here with you all. And I was just wondering if we could look over in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And starting at verse 12. Deuteronomy 10, 12. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Before I get started, I'll just have a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. Father, we just thank you and praise you for who you are, Lord. And we thank you for your mercy to us, Father, your loving kindness and your patience with us, Lord, as we live here on this earth and try to serve you and obey you, Lord. And we just thank you most of all for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself and came here and died for us all. And we thank you for that, Father, and that he's alive and coming soon. And Lord, we just pray tonight that you'll give us attentive hearts and minds. And just pray, Lord, we can all learn something new this evening together in Jesus' name. Amen. I was thinking about a subject to speak on for tonight, and I was thinking about, you know, how in our Christian walk, a lot of times we get sidetracked in different, say, programs with our church. We get hung up on things at our job, and we get busy in life, and we kind of wander off. And we sometimes, maybe I'm guilty of this, we might even get out of the Lord's will in certain areas of our lives. And sometimes I was just thinking, you know, it's good just to get back to the basics in life, in our Christian walk. And that's what I wanted to touch on tonight is just, you know, what does God want from us? What is he most concerned with about our walk and our life here on our earth, on this earth now? And I was just going to share from this particular verse that I just read from, and also another passage over in Micah, a familiar passage we'll look at a little later. And tonight I was going to look here in Deuteronomy 10:12, and I'll just read it one more time. "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord, and to walk in his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul?" You know, we look at this verse, and, you know, we think, okay, these are the four different things we're supposed to do here. We're supposed to, you know, walk with the Lord, love him, and serve him, and to fear him. And those are the four things that God requires of us. And I kind of wanted to just try to break it down a little bit and look at these different things. And the first one we'll look at is the fear of the Lord. And I was wondering if we could look over in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, starting at verse 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so shalt thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." You know, a lot of times, I know when I was growing up, you always hear about the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And, you know, I always thought, okay, I'm supposed to be afraid of God. I'm, you know, if I do something wrong, he's going to punish me, you know, right away. And, you know, those are the thoughts that ran through my mind, you know, growing up. And even up into my, maybe in my 20s, And as you really, you know, a lot of us in our Christian walk, you know, the Lord will chasten us. You know, if we stray away from Him, the Lord chastens whom He loves, it says in Hebrews. But He's also a loving God, and He's patient with us. And we want to fear the Lord. It's a reverential trust in Him, and we want to be obedient to Him. It's like our own personal fathers that we have here on this earth. You know, they love us very much, and they, when they see us going astray, they see us going the wrong way, the wrong path, they take us and they correct us because they love us. And we respect that, and we have that reverence towards our own fathers, and that's the type of reverence and awe we're supposed to have of our Lord and Savior in Him. And that's a good, healthy fear of the Lord. And here, this passage I just read from in Proverbs, also it says, we need to seek the Lord as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. You know, the Bible is like a treasure, and we need to dig for its truths. You know, I have a garage at home. It gets messy all the time. My wife gets after me. Oh, you got to clean that garage. We do, and it gets messed up again. And the other day, I was looking for something. I just kept digging and digging. I think I was looking for a certain part for my car. I knew I had it there. I knew it was there. And I'm digging around looking for this thing, and I could never find it. And it's like the Word of God, except when we dig in the Word of God, we will find it. Jesus says, seek and ye shall find. And we need to seek and learn about the fear of the Lord, it says here in verse 5. And then we're going to understand it once we look into the Word of God to find out what it is to fear the Lord. So that's just one thing I was able to find there. And over in Proverbs 1:7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So we're supposed to always take advice from godly counsel, from our elders or from godly people that we know. We're supposed to, you know, we shouldn't associate with people that are outside of the Lord's will. And there's another verse that says in Proverbs, if we walk with the wise, we will grow wise also. And we got to be careful that we're walking with the Lord, and then we'll gain more knowledge of Him, and then we're going to develop a healthy fear of the Lord. So that's one of the things that God requires of us also. And then also another verse over in the book of Psalms, Psalms 31:19. It says, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. So here it says here that if we're fearing the Lord, then His goodness is going to be upon us. We're going to feel the goodness of the Lord if we fear Him and walk with Him daily. And we're going to be rewarded for that if we're walking in the fear of the Lord. And we're going to have that trust in Him in our daily walk. Now I'd like to look at the next part of that verse back in Deuteronomy. It says to walk in all His ways. In our, you know, in our, like I was saying a little earlier in the beginning, our walk is how we live from day to day, from minute to minute. You know, how our actions reflect the Lord, how our reactions to circumstances reflect the Lord, and our relationship with Him. And our walk, you always heard the saying, our walk is louder than our talk, isn't it? How we live is going to speak louder than what we say. And you know, God is interested in how we, in our walk with Him. We could think of Enoch back in the Old Testament. It says, Enoch walked with God, and then one day he just went up to be with Him. And that's a picture of the rapture, of course, but it also explains about the close relationship that Enoch had with God. God loved him so much, and that He just took him home to be with Him. And that's how our walk should be. It should be modeled after Enoch, and of course the Lord Jesus mainly. But it was just one example that I thought of. Then over in a familiar passage in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians 5:16 and 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So here, this passage, a lot of us know, it's a familiar passage, it's talking about the battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Once we become saved, we still have that old sin nature, as we all know, and we have that constant battle going on between the Holy Spirit, which we have within us, and our old sinful, our fleshly self. And that's that constant battle, but God wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to always rely on Him each day, constantly praying to Him, asking Him for, you know, which way should I go, Lord, you know, in each and every step. And that's how God wants us to do in our walk with Him, our daily walk. You know, in our devotional time, we should have devotional time every day and asking Him what His will is for us. Just everything that we do, our work, our play, you know, whatever ministry we're involved with the Lord, we need to look for Him. We need to be walking in the Spirit. And if we do that, then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a lot of distractions in this world. You know, we have, a lot of you know, the TV, the computer, all these things bombard us, you know, things at work, things that people talk about, and distractions, and things want to pull us away from God. But if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're living and trying to, in obedience to Him, then it's going to be easier to fight against those things of the flesh that appeal to us in our walk with God. So that was some things that the Lord showed me about our walk with Him. And the next one, it says, and to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. You know, Jesus demonstrated His love toward us, that we were yet sinners. Christ died for us all. And that's what draws us to Him. You know, Christ was lifted up, and Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And that's what drew us to Him. That's what drew me to Christ, was that sacrificial death that He did for me upon the cross. And that's what drew me to Him. And I'm sure that's what drew all of us to Him, because of that great love that He demonstrated. So therefore, that love that we have for Him, we want to show that by expressing it through our worship. And that's why we come here tonight and each Sunday, is because of our love for the Lord. And you know, I'm guilty of it. Sometimes we come just to go through the motions, you know, we come through and just do our thing each Sunday, and I'm guilty of it. But we just good to keep fresh in our minds. We do it because we love Him. And it's just a good reminder for us in Deuteronomy there that we should love the Lord thy God with all our heart. And we show our love to Him through our tithes and offerings, giving to one another, helping one another. And those are just some different things of showing our love towards God. Then the last part of that verse, it says to serve thy God. And I was wondering if we could look over in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. And this is a verse about serving the Lord. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, verse 29. So this kingdom, once we receive Christ, we're within His kingdom. And then once we're in that kingdom, we want to serve Him daily in our way. It doesn't matter any way we serve Him. It's for Him and for His glory. And we serve God because, like I said earlier, because we love Him. And also over in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5-7, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. So here, Paul here is telling us, in our work, you know, we have a boss that's over us. God has placed that boss over us. And we need to serve him as we serve Christ, because Christ put him over us. And we're not doing it just to look good in his sight, but we're doing it from the heart, because we love the Lord. And as servants of Christ, we need to be working diligently. We need to work hard, be to work on time every day. And people see that, and people are going to notice that, believe me. Because I hear comments at work, you know, and about different guys and myself, and, you know, and people do watch you. And they, you know, if you claim to be a Christian, they're going to say things, and they're going to test you to see if you're living up to what you say. And here, you know, Paul's encouraging us that whatever we do, it's for the Lord and for his service. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, pounding nails, delivering mail, driving a truck, whatever your line of work is, or a teacher, or, you know, working at a grocery store. It's all for the glory of God. You're being a servant for him, and it's for his glory. And that's what Paul is talking about here in Ephesians. And now I'd like to look over in Ephesians, same book, Ephesians chapter 4. We also want to serve the Lord in our local assembly. In Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11, Paul here talks about the different gifts. And Ephesians chapter 4, 11 says, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So here Paul gives out all the different gifts, all the gifts that are given to certain people in the body of Christ. And it's our gifts are given to edify, to build up one another. And those gifts are used ultimately for the service for the Lord. And if we take those gifts and do them each day for our Lord and Savior, then we're serving him in a great way by edifying one another in the body of Christ. So that's some things the Lord showed me there from the book of Deuteronomy. Now I was wondering if we could look over to the book of Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6, and we'll start at verse 6. Here in this chapter, God is dealing with Israel here, and he's telling them all that he's done for them, how he's brought them up out of Egypt, and how he's delivered them from the Egyptians, from their years of slavery. And he's telling them all these different things that he's done for them. And now the Lord says here in verse 6, "Wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" So here God is telling them, you know, all these things that I've done for you, but what, you know, what do I want in return from you all? From here, you know, we can apply this to ourselves today, as well as is told to Israel here. You know, no, God, he doesn't want just our sacrifice. He doesn't want just us coming, showing up to church each Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever. He wants our life. He wants all of our being. And here he requires of us to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. And just some different things here I just like to talk about how do we do justice. You know, we're not, none of us here are probably a judge, and but we can do things to help others, to help others along in their lives as Christians. And God wants us to treat all people with respect, and He doesn't want us to show partiality to one another. And that's, I think that's what it means by doing justly, to make sure everyone is being treated equally. And the Lord helped me find a passage over in Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19 and verse 15. He says, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness thou shalt judge thy neighbor." So God doesn't want us to, here He's talking about, don't respect just the rich people, just the great people of society. He wants us to respect everyone equally, everyone on the same plane, even the lowly, even the street person. God wants us to love them and treat them just as equally. And it's hard a lot of times, and we're all guilty of it, and we do show partiality. We got to be careful as the Church of Christ, that we don't do that. And some people get turned away by the way they're treated, by the way Christians act towards them. And God wants us to treat everyone justly, and that's what He's talking about here. You know, we think about, a lot of us know about the passage over in James, where it says a rich man comes in with, you know, nice apparel, and everyone invites him and has him sit in the best seat, and then the poor man comes in and they just kind of ignore him. He sits in the back and he gets overlooked. And you know, God doesn't want us, He doesn't want that, does He? He wants us to treat everyone equally, everyone the same, and love everyone the same. And I believe that's what that part of that verse is about doing justly by not showing partiality. And also, God wants us to pay our debts, too, that we owe. That's being justful also in our actions. And He wants us to pay back our debts to one another. And if we borrowed someone from somebody or from a bank or whatever, we need to pay those debts back. We need to show responsibility in those areas, too. And the next part of that verse is it says to love mercy. God wants us to be merciful or long-suffering with one another. And today our brother Don Ensminger was preaching from the fruits of the Spirit, and he had these handkerchiefs. He was doing his little magic trick. He was pulling all these handkerchiefs out of this empty tube, and each one was showing all the fruits of the Spirit, and he held up long-suffering. I thought, wow, that's a tough one, isn't it? We get people in our lives. God puts people in our lives, and sometimes it's hard to deal with certain people, difficult people, but He wants us to love everyone the same, and He wants us to be long-suffering with one another, showing mercy to one another. And you think about how much mercy did God show to each and every one of us here. You know, how many times have we failed Him, but yet He's merciful to each of us, and that's how He wants us to treat others. We think of Jesus in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:7, it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And we think of that verse there. And over in Proverbs chapter 11, there's another verse about being merciful. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubles his own flesh. So there it talks about, you know, if you're not being merciful towards others, it's only going to bring trouble to yourself. You're going to be feeling guilty all the time. It's going to eat you up inside, and it's just going to trouble you if we're not merciful towards other people. And that's what it says there in Proverbs. And also in Proverbs 3:3, another verse. "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart." So you see how important mercy is here. And I'm sure there's many, many other verses through Scripture that talks about being merciful and showing mercy towards one another. And this is the great truth that God wants us to practice in our walk here on earth, one of the other things that He requires from us. And then the last part of that verse is to walk humbly with the Lord thy God. You know, what was one of the first sins? It was before Adam and Eve. Remember Satan when he was in heaven? What was the sin that he did? Pride, exactly. And that's the sin that brought him down, that had him cast down the earth, because he wanted to be greater than God. You know, through our lives, we strive for position. We strive for recognition sometimes. We want to be recognized. And it's hard, you know, because we want that recognition. That's our sinful self, our prideful self. But God is totally opposite of that, isn't he? And Jesus demonstrated that when over in John chapter 13, where he took upon an apron and he washed his disciples' feet, and there he humbled himself. And he came up to Peter and said, "Peter, and you know, I'm going to wash your feet." And Peter says, "No, not me, Lord." And then Jesus says, "I'm going to have no part with you." And then Peter, of course, he says, "Wash my whole body, Lord." In other words, and because the Lord was teaching them to serve one another. No servant is greater than his master, he said. And he wants us all to be equal in serving one another. And he wants us to humble ourselves and each esteem other better than selves, like Paul says. I was wondering if we could look at Proverbs chapter 16, 19. You could probably tell I found a lot of verses in Proverbs. It's a great book. And a lot of good truths in the book of Proverbs. And like Proverbs 16:19, "Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Very good verse there, isn't it? About having a humble spirit and associating with those who are considered lowly. And and God doesn't want us to associate with the people who are prideful and people who don't want to have anything to do with the Lord. Then over in Proverbs chapter 29:23, it says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." So if we're living prideful, he's going to bring us low. It says, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." But if we don't do that, then our pride's going to bring us down. Circumstances will bring us to our knees and back to the Lord if we try to stray away from him and do things on our own, won't they? And it's a very good verse there about humility. And I'd like to just close now with one more verse over in Philippians, and about the greatest act of humility, and a very familiar passage, Philippians chapter 2, which describes the humbleness of our Lord Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll just start with verse 1. "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, lest each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God and our Father." So here we see the example of our Lord Jesus, who left the glory and splendor of heaven. You know, I read an interesting thing today, a little pamphlet, some of you might have seen it, by William MacDonald. And I forget exactly what the title was of it, but he says, you know, when we get to heaven, and I never thought of this, when we get to heaven, and we're going to see the glory of it, the beauty of it, and we're going to realize what Jesus really left. And it's going to really hit us when we see what Jesus left and what he came down to here on earth. And I was really taken back by that. I was like, wow, I never thought of that. And, you know, he left the glory of heaven to come here, and he humbled himself and took on the form of a man, took on a body just like you and I, a body that probably, I'm sure he got sick. He felt, you know, pain. And of course we know that from the cross and, you know, everything, all the emotions that we feel. And he, you know, but yet he was without sin, of course. But he did all this because he loved us. And he humbled himself. And what a great example. And because he humbled himself, in verse 9, God exalted him, didn't he? And now he has a name that's above every name. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And, you know, Jesus says, in order for us to enter the kingdom of heaven, we need to humble ourselves and become as little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven and receive him by faith. And I encourage anyone here tonight that's never done it, that's never received Jesus Christ as Savior. He loves you and he died for you. And he wants to save you from a place called hell, a place of eternal torment. And you ever think about today at Springbrook, we touched a little bit on eternity. And our brother Ensminger talked about eternity. And I can't imagine burning forever and ever and ever and ever. It's a horrible thought. But yet the Lord Jesus saved us from that. And if we put our faith and trust in him, he will deliver us from that. And he took that step down here to deliver us from that. And we can praise him and thank him for that. And if anyone here tonight hasn't made that decision, I encourage you to do so. And don't wait before it's too late. Just closing a word of prayer.